This is the Toddcast Podcast. I'm a guy named Todd.
And I'm a guy named Eric. Join in our conversation as we discuss anything
and everything.
Pointless debates.
Music. Star Wars.
Nerd culture.
And so much more. There are no scripts.
No show notes. Commuters, sit back and enjoy the ride.
The Toddcast Podcast starts now. Hello, and welcome to the New Heights Podcast with Todd and Eric. Brothers.
That's right.
Strangely enough. How you doing?
Todd, I'm doing well. This is the, if you're not aware, and you are friendly with the New Heights Podcast, this is our Trojan Horsing Special of the Toddcast, indeed. The Trojan Horsing Special, if you're not familiar with, is, well, we find popular podcasts. We are not those podcasts, but we do talk about the things that are associated with the title of that podcast. So today you will get to listen to us. I mean, I think we'll talk about Jason and Travis Kelce slightly. I think there are some stories to be told, but for the most part, we're talking about New Heights and things, heights, maybe fear of heights, maybe times we're really high in the air or really high in general. You be the judge.
We'll both.
we'll just figure. Yes. We'll figure out along the way, but you are here not because you, possibly because you knew what we were doing and possibly because you were looking to hear from a famous football brothers. And in that case, we can play football too, I guess, just not professionally.
Yeah, no.
And or
no.
For long periods of time.
Travis Kelce, my number one draft pick in the fantasy draft. He served me very well year before last. And right. So in this year's draft came around, I'm like, I know who my man is. We're going to make this happen.
Right. You are like literally a Travis Kelce fan. And this is prior to bandwagon Travis Kelce fans that just emerged through the years. In fact, I believe you actually created the pandemonium of the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce thing. Do you recall what happened, Todd?
It's unintentional, but I believe it's true. It was my first fantasy football situation. My first draft was at your house for the big extravaganza, the draft. And I don't know squat about football. I mean, beyond the very, very, very basics that I'm pretty sure every American man is contractually obligated to know. I'm pretty sure that's in our Constitution somewhere.
Right.
I'm not necessarily happy about it, but I can accept it. And so we're going through the draft. There's a whole list of names that I just do not recognize. And there were two notable events in that draft that I think helped shape the future for all reality.
All mankind.
Yeah, really.
Let's be real. What you did was is a pivotal moment in the history books. It will be, and let's say by the time Miles is a senior, it should be in the history books.
If people are doing their job properly, yes, because I knew I needed to get people who were highly ranked, because they have the listing of, I don't know who makes those lists, Eric. Maybe you can tell
lots people, of people, but, just yeah, experts.
Who's the best for whatever position? And I like, well, I need a tight end. This guy is like leaps and bounds ahead of everybody else. I would draft, you know, Travis Kelce. And that
first pick he might have been third pick or something.
He wasn't first. I feel like if I'd have led with a tight end on my first draft, you and some of the boys would have been like, listen, we're going to kick your ass anyway, but we don't need you to go down like this. You should pick somebody else first.
Right.
So it was probably like two or three that first year.
Right.
I picked him. He became a part of the roster. And then the way we were drafting, it was like a back and forth situation, and
it's called a snake draft, Todd.
The snake draft. Thank you, Eric. The snake draft. So I was first, and so when it came back around to my turn again, I got to pick, you know, back to back. And I'm looking at this list of names, and I don't know who the fuck anybody is. Like, all I've got is this list of names that are in a general order of who's highest ranked for their position or not. And so I just start looking for names that are high on the list that are still for positions that I need, regardless. No other criteria. Well, and then I happen to see that, and I don't even remember what their names or positions were.
Full
do
name,
you? Okay, yes. So it was
Jonathan Taylor.
Jonathan
running
Taylor.
Running back for the time for the Colts.
So I saw him. He was a pick. And then immediately on the heel of that, there was somebody Swift. Do you remember who that was?
DeAndre Swift, at the time, running back for the Lions. So this wasn't even reaching. They were literally very close to each other on the list.
Oh, they were actually very acceptable.
Right, yeah, very acceptable.
Oh, yeah, and if you looked at the list, it just if you were just looking at last names, it was Taylor and then Swift. And I'm like, well, I am going to pick all of my people in pairs with names that seem like, you know, something else. So I
a winning strategy.
Oh, yeah.
I've won many, many championships for many adults.
Hey, listen, if it hadn't been for the interesting circumstances of some of those final games, I totally would have come in third in that draft.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know. You would have came away with money. We know that. We know that. So the first three draft picks essentially were Taylor, Swift, Kelsey. Tell me that didn't create the wave that we see today.
Yes.
I mean, literally, I don't know if anybody else had that, but it was prophesized and is now a full thing. And of course, you know, today we're and the reason we're telling this story is because this the New Heights podcast is Jason and Travis Kelsey. Todd, have you ever listened?
No. I only know that this exists because you mention it as part of the Trojan horsing process.
Right.
I mean, my assumption is that they get together and have their podcast. And, you know, they lead everyone off with how that one random guy in Ohio figured out how to draft and
right.
is responsible for all of it. And then they just go on to talk about Taylor Swift because that's what you do is you talk about Taylor Swift.
Right.
If you bring up Kelsey, you must therefore bring up Taylor Swift. So.
Yeah. I don't know how long their podcast was out. I imagine they don't talk. I mean, New Heights sounds to me like they're trying to achieve things. In our case, we're not necessarily trying to do that whatsoever. We're literally just trying to talk about heights because I think that's a more fun conversation for us. So, without further ado, Todd, let me ask you the burning question that everybody really needs to know. Are you scared of heights?
Not anymore.
Oh, geez. Well, that's that leads to a story. Please tell.
So, it would have been early 2000s. I was in Florida. I had been working as a telecommunications cabling wiring installer guy who runs phone and network lines in your office building. That was my gig. I honestly can't remember what it was at the time. But something happened that just pissed me off. Mind you, this was back in the high points of undiagnosed bipolar disorder and or ADHD. Take your pick.
Okay.
Could be both. But at this point, I had not yet seen any kind of shrink or done anything along that regard. I was wound a little tight, and there was something that the company did that just was a bridge too far for me, and I jumped in my car, said, fuck you guys, and raced off into the sunset. Which then left me, you know, unemployed, which is never good.
Okay. Oh, that's, yeah. Okay. I didn't take that in effect, but sure.
So, the next step was my buddy Kenny's cousin, his brother, it's a chain, but it gets there, but it makes sense. His brother owned a company out of Atlanta, Georgia, frankly, whose name I forget, but the job was building mobile scaffolding.
Oh, okay.
So they were, I believe, called Alamac machines. And what it is they're basically like elevators that strap onto the side of a building. So if you ever see people building like skyscrapers or you know,
condos
or whatever, there's like a central column, all these, you know, mast sections, they call them, that bolt together. And then there's this platform that rides up and down that mast on the side of the building.
Mm-hmm.
So my job was to set up the base of the thing, you know, get it all wired in, and you'd you know, using a crane or by putting these mast sections on the deck of the thing, you'd put them on top, screw it down, ride the elevator thing up 3 feet. Put another mast section on, bolt it with these gigantic bolts, ride up another 3 feet, like, and do that until you're, you know, 20 stories up in the sky. Like that was the gig, which wasn't a bad job. You know, you're out in Florida sun in the summer, which has got its pluses and minuses.
Sure.
You know, the mast sections were like 300 pounds a piece, and like depending on the circumstance, you know, there was like a thing called a jib pole, which had like a little hoist on the end. You could like had like a little like pulley system that would raise the thing. You'd swing it over the center of the thing, sit it down, bolt it down, move on with life. Right. Or if you just couldn't be bothered with all that, you would end over end them and just flip them up onto the middle of the thing, which I was pretty buff in those times from doing all this, which was also kind of nice.
Okay. Yeah.
But one of the joys of that job is that the actual job description, the job title, what I then would put on job applications and or resumes, the job title was erection specialist, because you were building these things. Gosh. And that was your specialty. But there, nothing gave a young 20-something more pleasure than being able to write erection specialist on his, you know, job applications. So
yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like that's something from 13 years on would be enjoyable.
Yeah,
I mean,
you never get tired of that. Really.
Let me ask you, do you have to, I mean, not that you've applied for a job for a very long time. I mean, is that on the resume? Is that like one of the key jobs that you keep on there?
No, it was on, I think, some job applications.
Okay.
Afterwards, because it was one of the most recent jobs I had. I mean, it's been so long. I forget that I've done it myself now, but
yeah, you get to pick and choose.
It's just fun to put on there.
Yeah, you're right. No, that's fun. So you say not anymore. Did that like take away your fear of heights?
Ish. I guess it's kind of like exposure therapy, because like the first time I was like, oh, this is serious. Cause like you have to wear one of those like harness things and like,
right.
Strap onto like the side, the equipment. Like you can't just be up there free floating around. Cause it, you know, there are points where you're 20 feet up in the air, not 20 feet, 20 stories
right
up in the air on this thing. And you're like, and the mast attaches to the side of the building. Like you're drilling into the side of the building and anchoring the main mast to it as you build your way up. And then once they've, you know, then you walk away, and the actual construction people use this device to like do all the, on the stuff you put like stucco.
Right.
Yes. So they, you know, as they're stuccoing, and then on their way down, you like go unbolt it and release the thing so they can stucco over the places where you had it mounted to the wall. And when you're you'd stick this thing to the wall like every, I don't know, 50 feet or so. So when you release the top one, and the next connection point to the building is 50 feet below you, and you're up the top, the wind, you know, swings that thing around. Like you can feel the breeze because you are in motion.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a scary proposition. And like I said, when I first got the job, it's kind of like joining the Navy and not really putting too much thought in the fact that, oh shit, you know what? I don't know how to swim. It was another one of those situations where it's like, I'm gonna get this job because, you know, Kenny's cousin can hook me up and it pays pretty well and blah, 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 blah. And then you show up on site and you're like, oh fuck, I have to be up on top of that.
Yeah. What do you do? I mean, at the end of the day, Todd, I mean, there are jobs I have on my list right now that I know I'll never be able to do. That being one of them. Anything that deals with heights. Absolutely not. Anything that deals with dropping things off at people's houses that have big dogs. Not everything that I'm going to do. Anything that driving a big truck, which also typically is like that whole mail carrier thing, won't do. Like, it didn't cross your mind when you're applying. I mean, I don't care if somebody would offer me $1 million right now to do what that job. It would not be possible.
So here's the thing. Youthful ignorance is always in the win column for doing stupid shit when you're young.
I suppose.
You know what I mean? The other thing is, like I said, I got the job there. My friend Kenny had got a job there, and his cousin worked like at basically the crew that I was going to be working with are all the folks that I like hung out with anyway.
Right.
So I had that encouragement, and that circle of friends, shall we say, had a little extra chemical enticement.
Sure, sure.
That made it so that we were less concerned about such things. So
Oh God, it sounds super safe. I'm sure.
Yeah. I'll just stop dancing around it and say, like, back in the early 20s in Florida, your noble narrator was a bit of a stoner.
Right.
And you know, we're there on the job site. We're hanging out in the F-150, getting ready to do our thing, and I'm kind of freaking out. And they're like, "Dude, we got this," and breaks out, you know, a joint. And it's like, I'm like, really?
Safest
and they're
thing
like,
to do.
And they're like, "This will take the edge off. Like, just be super careful. You need to pay attention. You're gonna have the harness on, but this will help you get over that initial oh fuck. And it did. And eventually, it got to the point where it weren't no thing. I do not recommend this to others. This is not the
how about this? How about this? I'm going to tell you guys all to just not apply for jobs that you're not qualified or can't do. That's my recommendation, as opposed to going towards drugs, Todd. So we'll keep you off the scaffolds and out of rehab. So no drugs.
Where was 40-year-old Eric when I was 24? Come on.
Great question, Todd. I was probably hitting somebody over the head with a light bulb. So take that for what it is. I will tell you that leans perfectly into my height situation. So I did find that in the middle of a wrestling match, I can jump off high things. But
okay.
In any other circumstance, not a fucking chance. Not a chance. There will not be a time that I would be able to do that. The structures I learned of my general fear of heights at Pittsburgh. We one time went, I think, with our cousins that were in from like Oregon or Chicago. Can't recall where they lived at the time, but it was that series of cousins.
Yes.
And they decided to take us to the incline in Pittsburgh, which I'd never been to. So for those not in the Pittsburgh area that are also living in Saskatchewan, the incline is it's like an elevator-esque train that is on the side of Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh is known for, you know, having some hills. So if you drive through the tunnel, go to like the, I wouldn't say downtown, it might be the strip district, but you park and there's these cool inclines that you're at the bottom of this hill, you embark, and it's a little ride to the top of Mount Washington, I believe. Now Mount Washington is high enough, and of course they have this this I guess platform that overlooks the city. And for those who have not seen downtown Pittsburgh, it is beautiful. It is one of the best skylines, in my opinion. Yes, I'm a homer, but boy, there's nothing like coming out of that tunnel and boom, being smacked in the face with all these cool freaking skyscrapers. So with that being said, we were going to get that look on top of Mount Washington on this goddamn platform. And mind you, platform's big enough. It's not like I was hovering over the edge. My ass would not get on that damn thing. I just, like, whatever it was, I might be able to walk a couple steps out, and that was the end of it. I was, like, hovering over nothing. I didn't trust the supports. I didn't trust anything, and I'm like, this is not good. That is one of the first moments I, like, yeah, not a chance. Slowly realize, you know, through the years of friends trying to walk across bridges, not a chance. Will not walk across the bridge. I will walk across the bridge if it's like in the middle. And so, for instance, to get over to the Pirates Stadium again in Pittsburgh, you have to walk across the giant bridge. I cannot do like walkways next to the edge. I can go in the middle of a giant walkway to the point where I can't see that I'm over heights.
Right.
But so I realized that I can't walk across any bridges that have like a see-through grate. There's one called Etnaville Bridge. I know you know this, Todd.
Well, right? That's what I was going to say. Growing up, did you never walk
Not
over
a chance.
To the island or,
nope.
or onward to?
Nope. Oh. And if I did, I was too young to remember, and or maybe that's what traumatized me. I don't know. Either
okay.
way, there is no bridge walking. I've often thought of scenarios where if I needed to get to Ohio, and I live in West Virginia right now, I'm fucked. Like, I will not walk across the bridge. So I'm like, we're not going that way. You better get
the zombie apocalypse happens. You no longer can go to Ohio. That's just all
I
there
might,
is to that.
Like I said, I might be able, if there's no traffic, I might be able to walk across the bridge in the middle
of the
bridge.
Yes, if you're in the middle. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And to be quite honest with the situation that just happened in freaking Baltimore.
Oh, God.
Scary. And I mean, literally, I will sometimes drive across bridges and I don't know what it is. There are moments in time where I'll get a little bit of anxiety to go across the damn bridge.
Just so, driving, like normal travel.
Right. It seems like it's happening now older adult years, it seems like, you know, the fearlessness of the child is leaving. By the time I'm 70, I literally won't drive across bridges.
All right. Well, you know.
But
I was going to say maybe by the time you're 70, we'll have those flying cars and you won't have to. But then you just won't get in the flying cars because they go too high, I assume.
Well, no,
right?
No, that's the weird thing. That's
like, how are you
thing.
With planes? The planes bother
I'm
you?
I'm fine with planes. I'm not under. I don't understand. I think it's a matter of being secure, right? So right. I'm fine with planes. I can get anxiety as of late with like bridges, and I think it has something to do with water. For some reason, I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. It all comes back to Jaws. Everything comes back. All fears come back to Jaws. But for the most part, I can drive. You know, so I'm not sure how other people deal with fear of heights or what kind of heights they have. But I am triggered by really, really high. And I guess I'm not super triggered, but I don't like it. High roller coasters. You know, there's roller coaster rides that I just do not care for. Like there was one called the Pitfall, which is just a drop ride at Kennywood, and it just goes straight up, hovers you for a second, drops you. Don't care for that. Although I did it a lot in my youth, and I think that might have been one of the traumatizing factors. So I'm not sure.
Like I know there are a bunch of coasters in Cedar Point in Sandusky, Ohio, that are super tall, like famed for being tall, like. This roller coaster is so tall, you can look across Lake Erie and see Canada levels of tall. You just don't participate with that?
I would not participate in that. Like, I recall, you know, the Steel Phantom, which is in Kennywood, is the ride that you go up. And the incline of that is scary. I have to look straight. I can't look over. I do not like it. It is an anxiety moment. It's not to the point where I'm, like, incapable of moving. Or like I'm terrorized because I still sign up for this stuff. I can handle like that anxiety for like a minute from a lift and then we're fine. But the thought of walking across the bridge is quite terrifying. And I'll tell you what the most terrifying was. And this is where it's really silly. And this is where you just know like, what the hell? Like you could think of it now. I could say it now and it sounds ridiculous. But we were at the top of the Rockefeller Center in New York. This was, 16 years ago, I think. Well, honeymoon, we went to New York. We get to the top of the rock. Going up the elevator, no problem. Getting out to the edge, I look at it, and it's, yes, you've got this beautiful skyline. And they have very, very thick glass hovering around the entire, you know, top. So you're pretty safe. I mean, this is super thick. It is probably feet into the actual side of the building. It's not going anywhere. Right. But it rained earlier that day. And for whatever reason in my brain, the wet ground, I would not come close. I'm talking, Todd, we're talking maybe 15 foot. I would not get close. Like, that's the closest I'd get to the edge. And literally, and Lauren just like, are you going to come closer? I'm like, nope, I'm fine right here. And that is, like, I don't know what it is, but that was the extent of how far I could walk and feel comfortable. And I didn't like it in general. I mean, heights don't, you know, there's nothing that I'm like, I don't want to give myself anxiety just so I get a good view. So
do planes bother you?
No.
Like, is it one of those things to where
don't bother me?
Does it not bother you? Or do you just like, I don't think about how high I am.
I'll get a window seat and I'll look, and I don't know why, but I think it's just because I am enclosed. And that's where it starts getting weird when it comes to cars, because I used to be fine in cars. I'd be fine in any type of, you know, harness. Like I could do a sky, they have a thing called a Skyliner, which at Disney is an enclosed like bucket. What are those called? Lifts? I don't know.
Right.
And I'm fine with those. Absolutely fine. We are super high on stuff, but I'm fine because we're enclosed. I have a seat. I don't know what it is. But same with the planes. But when it comes down to it, if you asked me to do that same exact thing, but I was probably sitting on a ski lift, I probably wouldn't want to do it.
How do you think you'd do in a hot air balloon?
Horrible.
Is that enclosed enough, or is that way too free floating?
I have a feel. No, because I think there's the notion of like, I don't trust myself. And at any point in time, if I just get the random feeling of like saying I can jump out of this thing, like who knows?
Thoughts. Yeah.
I need to control the urges to be a fucking maniac. It is a confusing situation. I am definitely not a fan of heights. There have been many circumstances where getting on top roofs, not a fan. You know, like right. I remember, I think Ron, Lauren's dad, was making fun of me for, you know, or just laughing because of the notion, like I would only get so high on certain like ladders, or like I got on a roof and I was like, yep, not a big fan of this, Ron. And you know, and that's, you just kind of break your legs. You're not necessarily falling to the death, you know, for 10 foot, 15 foot or whatever. Like that.
Right.
But nonetheless, not a super fan of any of that stuff. But yet we, you know, we truck on, we make it happen. I do not put myself in situations where I'm often dealing with heights, but I can, you know, if it's a roller coaster that I absolutely need to ride because I need to check it off my list, my OCD will outrank.
will overpower the
right. Fear. Yeah. If we had to make lists of our superpowers and or fears, I think, you know, one is stronger than the other.
Alrighty.
You're not necessarily scared of heights now. You're good to go. What's the highest place you've ever been?
I mean, the highest, most precarious height I've been was while I was doing that job. Shockingly enough, on a day that I was actually, I believe, sober as hell. It was just Kenny and I were the only ones from my crew on the job site. Kenny had taken the lift up to the top to put the top cap on the unit, and we were and it was like on a, I want to say, 20 plus story condo in Naples, Florida, right? He goes up to go do that, and I'm down on the ground doing something, like I can't remember what, like, you know, filling out paperwork or acquiring some, you know, whatever, and I get, all right, you know, we've got walkie-talkies, and he's like, you need to get up here. And so, like I said, on the deck of this thing, there is what they call a jib pole, which is basically, if you imagine, sort of an upside-down L.
Right.
Like where the long end goes into the deck, the short end comes over, and at the end of the short end, there's like a hook where you put this little, you know, electric hoist with a chain that can lift the mast sections, and you hook it up to a mast section, you lift it up a few feet, you swivel the whole pole so it's over the top of the mast, sit the next section on, bolt it down, lather, rinse, repeat, right? Well, the jib pole was in the deck, and like apparently as he was coming down, the wind swung it so that it was over the mast section. So the physics of that are, if you're on the platform and you're going down, and this jib pole is over the center mast, they're eventually going to contact, right? And right. The jib pole is just this heavy ass piece. Like, it's not bolted to the deck. It is just like the bottom, you know, post of it is in a hole in a slot, right, in the deck. So when he does that, he's not paying attention. He feel, you know, he can sort of hear something's wrong. He can feel things slow up a little bit. But by the time he realizes it, the jib pole has, like, the ground has gone down to the point to where the jib pole is coming up out of the floor, and it's like teetering kind of in the little notch in the floor and hung up on the center mast, such that if he hit the button to keep going down, the jib pole is going to come completely out of the floor and swing wild. And mind you, this jib pole probably weighs like, I don't know, 100 and some pounds and is 25 floors up.
Yeah.
So that's not good.
Not fun.
And if he goes back down because the thing's not seated right, it would do that. Like, no matter what he did, if he didn't stand there with his arm on the jib pole, like, it was going to go. And like, he luckily had a free hand to be like, Todd, get up here. I had to climb ladder style.
Oh,
up
shit.
The center mast of this thing, 25 stories, Eric.
Yep. Yep, that is fear inducing, and I'm just sitting here talking. That is how my brain works. Like, I cannot fathom.
Well, and like we're wearing harnesses. Like, you're supposed to clip on. There was no time for this. My boy's up top. He's in distress. At any minute, he could, like, if he lets loose, this thing's coming tumbling. So not only am I climbing 20 some stories of this mast thing, unattached, because there's just like, for, because you attach, you climb 2 feet, unattach, reattach, climb 2 feet, like, there's no time for that.
Yeah,
also the jib pole is like right around, it's right over the mast, so if this thing does come tumbling down, it's going to come tumbling down, if I'm lucky, just right next to me and not
right.
through me on its way to the ground. Right. So that's probably the sketchiest height situation I've got. When I got to the top of that motherfucker, like I got there and I like rolled over and like laid flat on the deck and was just and Kenny's like, dude, what are you doing? I'm like, dude, I just climbed 25 fucking floors. You can hold on to that thing for another 30 seconds while I catch my goddamn breath.
Right. Yeah, that's goddamn crazy.
Clearly we got out of there all right, but it was a bit harrowing. It was less than fun.
Look at you, hero. I do not have any hero stories. The best I've done is I jumped off a nice fence and did an elbow drop. I think that's maybe a ladder. Who knows? So wrestling does beat the heights and obviously trying to check things off lists helps me beat heights, but that's about it. But that is essentially how I reach new heights, Todd. So
yes,
in general, yes, still scared of heights, still scared of Jaws. A combination of heights and Jaws is the most terrifying thing in the world.
So like the Sharknado situation, like if shark got airborne, that would just be the culmination of all your fears, I'm guessing.
No, I don't care about other things being high in the sky. It would be me if there was a shark attacking me at the top of the Rockefeller Center. So there's your next action movie. Essentially, it's a King Kong, but with Jaws. Yeah, that's I probably would die immediately. So, yeah. But we'll have.
Let's avoid
that's
that.
What we have. Yeah, sure. So with that being said, I'll never be at the top of the Rockefeller Center. So you'll find me here in lovely Wheeling, West Virginia, where I may be at the top of, you know. No, I wouldn't even be on a suspension bridge. That sounds terrifying as well. So there you have it, Todd.
We'll leave you to that then, and that's fair. Well, thank you, Eric, for facilitating the New Heights podcast by a pair of football-adjacent brothers. Mm-hmm. Very adjacent, and or not really adjacent in my case, but you know, we'll do what we can. Thank you for the enlightening, enriching stories there, Eric. Thank you, listeners, for joining in with us. And until next time, I hope you all have a good one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Toddcast Podcast.
If you have comments, questions, or topic ideas you'd like us to chat about, you can reach out on social.
Search for Toddcast Podcast.
Visit our website at toddcastpodcast.com with a single D in Todd.
There you will find show notes, original articles, and a backlog of episodes.
If you'd enjoyed this episode, please feel free to share with your like-minded friends.
Perhaps you would consider subscribing, following, or marking this podcast as a favorite if you've not yet done so.
And of course, reviews and ratings on Apple Podcasts are appreciated.
Thanks again for listening to the Toddcast.